Praise God. Hallelujah. And please take your seats. How many of you here, you have noticed that the enemy is always fighting you? Come on, wave at me if you felt the fight. And you know why he's fighting you? Because he wants your promises. He wants everything that God has promised to you. Both the promises that apply to everyone and the unique promises that he's given to you. And so he's after your promises. You can just say to the devil right now, I found you out. I know why you're fighting me. But I'm having my promises. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, but we feel the tussle, don't we? We feel the wrestle. And how many of you, from time to time, you've been in faith, and you've been strong in faith, but then you've gone into a place of wobble? Will you put your hand up if you know there's been times in certain areas where you've been strong in faith, and then suddenly the wobble has come? Yes? Well, I want us today, we're going to break down three different vital scriptural ingredients that we need in our hearts to grow on the inside in order for us to be able to lay hold of everything that God's got. And it all starts with hope. Say hope. You see, the Bible says, Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And the analogy I love the most to explain this is that you cannot get ice without water. Isn't that right? Ice is simply frozen water. And in the same way, hope is like water, which when it is in the right places, it can produce ice. Are you hearing me? And we need faith in order to obtain all our promises. And so hope is really important, but hope is like our first stepping stone. And what is hope? Hope is confident expectation based on what the Bible promises. It is not what the world calls hope, like wishful thinking. It's this knowing on the inside because we know that God is good. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so hope is something that has, you know, its language is dreams. Hope makes us feel excited. And I mentioned it like this on Friday when I was doing my Facebook Live. Hope is that sense that Christmas is coming. You know, as a child, when a child knows Christmas is coming, they don't yet know what they're going to get. They don't know if anyone's bought the gifts yet. Yeah? But they just know Christmas is coming. Yeah? And hope's like that. It's this sense of excitement and expectation. And so we need hope to get faith. So what's faith? Faith is that point. You see, it says now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And it carries on. It says the evidence. This is Hebrews 11, verse 1, please. The evidence of things not seen. Evidence. This speaks of proof. Evidence is certain, isn't it? So you see, when we've moved over from hope into faith, it's that moment when we just go, oh my goodness, I've got it. Have you ever been there? You know, there's a couple of examples in my life, but one was great. I remember really praying when Benj and Abby were tiny, before their first school, before they went to primary school, and really praying, and I was in hope. I knew that God had a great school for them. I didn't know which one, and I was praying and believing God for the right school for our children. You know, it's so important that we pray over every stage of our children's lives. If you're a parent, you know what? It's not about the academic stuff. It's about their lives. Are you hearing me? It's about who they become, not just what they know. You can teach them what they need to know. We need to make sure they're surrounded by the right people. So I'd been praying and I was in hope. I knew that God is good and that he's going to look after my children. And then I remember starting to look and I stepped into a school. And that's it. This is the place. I knew as I walked into this particular school that this was the place for my children. And all the excitement, as though I'd just been offered a place for them, just filled my heart. And I was like, this is it. I was certain. In fact, I remember when we got the letter saying they got the place, I was kind of neither here nor there. Because I'd already celebrated, because I had the evidence. Are you understanding? I already had the evidence. I've had that with physical healing, where I've been tussling over days and really waging war over my physical health. And then suddenly one day, I had it in pregnancy with nausea. And I remember one day just going, I know it. I've got my healing. I still felt nauseous, but I knew I had my healing. So I stopped praying because I had my healing. I knew that all that horrible stuff that was making me feel dreadful was gone. And then 2-3 days later, all the symptoms left. But I already had it 3 days earlier. So faith is when we know. Amen? Amen. But what happens when we've got into faith about something? You see, it doesn't stop there. Because the Bible tells us, I think it's 1 Timothy, let me give you the scripture reference, although I'm sure you all know this, but it's good to know where it says it. It says in 1 Timothy 6:12, it tells us that faith is a fight. Say, it's a fight. You see, the devil knows how important your faith is, and so he's going to continue to fight you. He's going to continue to try and pull you from that place of faith. And one of his two greatest weapons against your faith are doubt and fear. You can be really strong in faith, and then suddenly something happens, and before you know it, fear is trying to intimidate you. Anyone been there? Come on, hands up if you've been there. Yeah, I've been there. Or you're in faith, you're strong, and then doubts start to arise. And soon enough, once doubts arrive, fear's around the corner too. So what do we do when suddenly fears come in? Our faith is being challenged, and we're feeling all wobbly on the inside. And I want to give you what the Bible says we do. Psalm 56, verse 3 says, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. Say, I will trust. Now, I want to help you understand the difference between faith and trust. You know, we need trust for hope. All these three are very closely linked. But you see, we see the psalmist there saying, you know what, when that wobble comes to my faith, I'm not going to suddenly start panicking. I'm not going to feed on that fear and find myself in a terrible situation. I will trust. In fact, it says in Psalm 62, 6, it says, trust him at all times, you people. How many here, you're a person? Put up your hand if you're a person. You see, scripture is saying to you, you need to trust him at all times. Saying it to me, I need to trust him at all times. So in other words, trust is one of those things that we need to be constantly going back to. But I want you to understand it a bit. You see, the Hebrew word for trust is this word bala. And it means to be confident, to be sure, bold, secure, careless. I love that bit. In other words, no cares. Are you hearing me? You see, we cast our cares because we trust. The moment we're carrying cares, it means that we're not trusting in that moment. Careless. It means to put confidence. Proverbs 3:5 in the Amplified, listen to it. It says, lean on. And while I'm reading this, Junior, if you come here, lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind. And do not rely on your own insight or understanding. Lean on, trust in, be confident in the Lord. And I love that. Don't rely on your own insight. You know, I think women especially, and maybe even, you know, sometimes it's even a spiritual gift. So we're always looking for the insight to help us kind of, you know, interpret what we should be doing next. You know, God's just saying trust. Remember, this is when faith wobbles. I want to read you the dictionary definition of trust. Junior, come and stand up here. Listen to this. It's reliance on the integrity, strength, ability, or surety of a person. And as a result, having confidence. It's reliance on the integrity. Our God is a God of integrity. It's reliance on the strength. He's our strong tower. It's reliance on the ability. He's able. The surety of a person and therefore producing confidence. You see, Psalms 9, verse 10 says, those who know your name will put their trust in you. Know your name, that speaks of reputation. Who know you? It's those who know who he is. Now, I want to use Junior as an example. Come here. You see, how many of you ever in team building exercises, either at school or at work or college, you ever had to do that thing where you stand and you had to practice trust and you had to fall back? And normally there would be two or three people to catch. Did you ever do them? Okay, so Jen needs healing from trust issues. Because Jen did this. Was it work or school? At work. And the people didn't catch her. But it's a really, you know what? You know what you see? This is the whole point of the definition of trust. Because you know their strength. You know their integrity. You know their ability. You know what they're made of. Now, you see, turn around and face me like that, right. Now, you see, I know that Junior has all these muscles. I can see them. I've experienced them. I saw Junior one time many years ago. Roro, someone had prayed for her, and she was right at the back, and she'd fallen under the power of God, and it was Prophet Nana praying. And he went, Junior, go pick her up and bring her here. I don't know if you remember Roro. And so this guy waltzed over as though he was picking up, like, a piece of paper from the ground. He just waltzed over. He went, doodle-oodle-oodle-oo, plump, and just plopped her down at the front. I was like, oh, my goodness me. So you see, I know that I can trust him. And pick me up again. Thank you, Junior. You see, trust, I want you to hear this. What's the difference between trust and faith? Faith is about a promise. You need faith to believe that every promise that God has given you is going to come to pass. Trust is about a person. Trust is saying, do you know what? You see, when that psalmist, I can't remember if it was a psalm written by David, but when that psalmist was afraid, he said, you know what, just for a moment, I'm going to take my eyes off the fight. Just for a moment, I'm going to take my eyes even off the promise. Just for a moment, I'm going to take my eyes off everything going on around me, and I'm just going to say, Daddy God, I trust you. Are you listening? There is a time when we need to just shift our focus when fear is trying to intimidate you by reminding you of some circumstances, when doubt is trying to creep in and make you think, but what if? That's the moment when we say, I'm going to remember who you are, God, because he is trustworthy. I want to give you another illustration. Bella, please come. And Alex and Maggie, I want you to get this. You know, we sang that song today. I'm no longer a slave of fear. Now, come up here so that everyone can see you. This is my Bella. Don't be deceived by thinking she's there. She belongs. She's my Bella. So I'm going to ask Bella a question. So Bella, how are you going to get enough money this week for all your food?
I know that my mum and dad have sorted it all out, so I don't need to worry.
And what about like, are you and Zach going to go out on the streets and start begging to get your school uniform?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Am I being silly?
Yeah.
Now, Bella, something else. Have you ever worried about whether you're going to eat the next day?
No.
Have you always known I'm going to have some nice food tomorrow?
Yes.
And why is that?
Because I know my mum and dad have sorted it all out.
Put your hands together for Bella. You see, trust is about a person. I'm sure that Bella's parents are teaching their children about faith. And I'm sure there are things that Bella's believing God for. Maybe toys. Maybe specific things you want to do. Maybe Daddy and Mummy are teaching you about believing for your next school. But you see, trust is this careless, you understand, careless knowledge that I don't need to be thinking about the things that my daddy has already got in control. Thank you so much. Thank you, Bella. You see, trust is about a person who's got this. How can we stand there and say, I'm no longer a slave to fear? You know what? Isn't it horrible when fear is churning on the inside? When you're thinking, oh my goodness, how's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? How's he going to work it out? Where's it all going to... That is slavery. We sing that song thinking it's about something before we were saved. Or thinking it's about something specific. But you know what? God does not want you to be a slave to fear any day of your life. He doesn't want you to be awake at night worrying how those issues are going to be sorted, worrying about family or finances or anything else. God wants you in those moments when the wobble comes. Do you remember Weebles Wobble? Or does that show my age? How many of you remember that advert? Put your hands up high and, oh no, but you've... Like, oh no, the people putting their hands up are not looking young. Come on, hand up higher. Okay, so there was an advert many years ago for a toy. And these toys were called Weebles. And Weebles had, in fact, I think Carlyon once did an illustration with a Weeble, which means that younger people have heard of Weebles. But they're all rocky at the bottom. And they wobble around. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. You see, when the wobble comes, the key is saying, I will put my trust in God. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. I will lift up my eyes to the one whom I know, who's able. You see, another song we sung, you know, and all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. You see, God wants you to remember his goodness last time. He wants you to remember how he delivered you yesterday and the month before. I will remember. You know, there's a song we used to sing. In fact, we sang it at the opening of the LTC. I will remember, it declares. I will remember. And we need to make that decision. I am not going to forget the faithfulness of God. Because you see, it's who he is. He's a good, good father. This does feel like a little canter around the songs that we sing. But he's a good, good father. It's who he is. And without any slur on their parenting skills, he's a better father than Alex. And he's a better mama than Maggie. And he is able. You see, we have to make sure that we're not looking to the alternatives. And I'm going to explain what I mean by that. God really wants us. You know, one thing I've realized in my life, he wants us to grow. Turn to your neighbor and say, God wants you to grow. And then you can turn to yourself, because we have to be very polite to our neighbors, and then we can be tough on ourselves. Turn to yourself, point at yourself and say, grow up. Okay? You see, God wants us to grow up. And one thing I've seen about God is when I fail a test, anyone here ever failed a test? Yes. You know, and let me give you examples of tests. A test is that when you don't know how it's going to happen, that you suddenly go into panic. Because panic is just fear. Yes. And so I've been there. I've been in tests where things look bleak and I've got afraid. Oh my goodness, what's going to happen? God, have you abandoned me? And that is me failing a test. Turn to your neighbor and say, she's telling the truth. Because you see, God wants me to grow in faith. He wants you and I to be able to learn from Jesus, who was fully God and fully man. What did Jesus do when there was a massive storm hit the Sea of Galilee? A huge one hit the Sea of Galilee. And the waves were crashing into the boat. Jesus, who is God, but he was also fully man. What was he doing? Who can remember? He was asleep. Because he knew in whom he trusted. He knew, do you know what? I'm coming out the other side of this because God's got a plan for my life. He knew the purposes of God shall be fulfilled. And so Jesus was in the boat asleep. Now, what did the disciples do? They went running towards him. They're in fear. They're panicking. They're in a terrible state. They wake him up and they say, "Teacher, do you not care?" How many times do we do that? We go to God saying, "Do you not care about me?" And he says, "Oh, my daughter, this plan was an opportunity for your promotion. I want you to listen to this. Oh, my daughter, but this terrible storm was an opportunity for you to pass a test. Because you've been asking me for promotion and I want to promote you, but I need to know that your faith is ready. I need to know that your trust is ready. I need to know that you don't look at the circumstances around you, but that you've learned to put your eyes on me." And so Jesus woke up like that. "Do you not care about us? Oh, you've abandoned us." And isn't it amazing? Fear is always thinking about self. They did in the boat go, "Oh my goodness." Now, they didn't yet quite know that he was the Son of God. But they knew he was a really important person, yeah? They didn't go, "Oh my goodness, Jesus might die." Are you listening? Fear doesn't suddenly go, "Oh my goodness, look at all these people you're supposed to be helping." No, fear always looks at self. "What about me?" And so they go to him, not going, "You know, we're really concerned for your well-being because we're your disciples. We're here to stand strong with you." No, they went, "No, do you not care? We're perishing. It's all falling apart." And he gets up out of his lovely sleep. As my husband would put it, he was probably on his third dream. Rebukes the wind and the wave and says, "Oh, come on, guys. You know, I was in the boat with you. Where's your faith?" You see, I want us to look at the alternatives. You see, when that fear comes, there are certain things that God's saying, I don't want you to do. And, you know, one of those things that a lot of us try and do is suddenly think, "What can I do? What can I do?" So immediately, like, I need to employ this strategy. I need to do that. I've got a whole list of things I've got to do right now. You see, Scripture says in Psalm 44:6, it says, "I will not trust in my bow, nor shall my sword save me." Do you remember the scripture I read, which said, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your..." You see, God wants us in that moment to say, "Lord, I trust you." You see, when our eyes are back on him, and the fear immediately gets drowned in all that love that we experience from God, then we can say, "Is there anything I need to do?" I loved what my husband preached a couple of weeks ago, where the first thing that came out of the Apostle Paul's mouth when he was still Saul, when he first got saved, is, "What do you want me to do, Lord?" First question. And so that's a reasonable question. After we've taken our eyes off the fight and put them onto our Father again. You see, he says, "I will not trust in my sword." And another one, Micah 7:5. You know what? How many people suddenly panic, phone a friend? This isn't Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. And you can't pick 50-50 either, you know? You know, how many times our first response is to reach out to a friend. Look at that. Do not trust in a friend. Listen, we need to support one another. God didn't make us islands. He set the lonely in families. He said, where two or three agree, it shall be done. It shall be established. God intends us to have relationships where we share openly with those who we know that God has placed together with us. But that is not in the middle of the storm. The minute the storm hits and first stop God. We first look up. We first turn to him. And we reset. You know, like you can do a system reset. The number of times I'll say to my husband, Paolo, you know, my computer's not working. Oh, my phone's not working. Oh, this isn't working. And it's like, if I wish he'd say something different for once. He always says, switch it off and then put it back on. I'm like, oh. In other words, system reset. And it always works. It's so annoying. Like, why didn't I think of that? I mean, I don't know how many times he said it, really. But you see, in the midst of the wobble, we need to look up and say, I trust you, God, because I know who you are. You remember Junior's muscles. I mean, Junior's just not even got a... I mean, if you saw God walk in with his muscles, I mean, we couldn't contain one of God's muscles in this entire auditorium. That's the God that we trust, who's able, who's done it so many times before, who will never let us down. And there's one other thing I want to say about the alternatives. Jeremiah 7:4 says this. It says, do not trust in lying words, saying, and they say whatever they want to say, don't they? Do not trust in lying words. You see, we've got to make a decision. Whose report will you believe? You see, the Bible says God is not a man that he should lie. Now, we don't need to turn around to doctors and say to them, you're lying. That would be completely dishonorable. Are you listening to me? Please nudge your neighbor and say, listen to what she just said. But there are times when we need to make a decision. And you know, normally it's not a human being saying it. Normally it's a whisper we're hearing. Normally it's a whisper of, oh, it's not going to happen. Oh, you heard that story about that one person, you know, where it didn't happen. I'm telling the truth here. Or it's, oh, you know, what if they say that at work? What if this doesn't happen at home? Oh, and suddenly these whispers are coming. And in that moment, you see, you and I have to make a decision. Who's telling the truth? Who can we rely upon? And you see, God is not a man that he should lie. And trust says, I'm not going to listen to those words. I'm not going to listen to the fears of other people. That's why we've got to be careful who we share our challenges with. That's why you've got to know that the person that you share your challenge with is somebody who, you know, either has the same faith of you as you or even a step up in faith. Because you want to hear what the word is going to be saying in those moments. You want to hear God's perspective in those moments and not the perspective of someone who's got less faith than you. Are you listening? You know, the Bible tells us that if we hang around with fools, it's destructive. But it says that he who hangs around with the wise becomes wise. You know, one of the things I think was sometimes another lie that we listen to is we say, well, I'm being wary. I'm being cautious. I'm just one of these people that, you know, I really want to. Do you know what? We're called to be wise, not wary. Wisdom is based on fear. I mean, wisdom is based on faith. When we're wary, it's based on fear. All that, you know, and so God is speaking to us today. And he's saying, when the wobble comes, some of you are in a wobble right now. The stuff that you're facing right now, that in the natural doesn't look good. stuff that you've been believing for a long time. And there's that doubt and fear that has been trying to destabilize you on the inside. And God is saying, just for a moment, take your eyes off the fight and put your eyes on your Father. You know, I've never seen my children worry about the big issues in life. Never seen them do it. Because they just know, oh, Daddy will sort it. Well, don't they? I mean, they've never had a money worry in their lives. Oh, Daddy will sort it. Or what's it? Oh, Daddy's got it. Yeah, he'll sort it. Because they know who their Father is. They know that he provides. They know he doesn't let them down. You see, God wants us to take our eyes off the fight for a little while. Sometimes we take our eyes off the promise for a little while and put our eyes on that person. That person who will never, ever, ever fail you. And you see, in that moment, do you know the truth is? You can fight fear. Let me tell you the truth. When you're in faith and fear comes and doubt comes, you can battle hard. You can, you can do all that. But that's the hard work way of getting back into faith. You want to know the quick, easy? I like quick, easy ways if they're good ways, if they're scriptural ways. The quick, easy way back into faith is to fall into your Father's arms and go, phew, God's got this. I love this statement. You know, God's got me. I remember the first time I ever said it when I realized I'm God's problem. Isn't that great? This was when I was at Bible college. I suddenly realized one day, and back then, believe you me, I was a problem. But I remember, but you should have laughed at that point. Thank you, that's better. But I remember the first time that the penny just suddenly dropped. I'm God's problem. And that felt so good. In that moment, suddenly realizing. And then since then, it's realizing everything in my life, it's God's problem. He's got this. He's well able. And it only takes a little while in trust. And before you know it, faith is arising again on the inside. Because you've taken your eyes off the problem and onto your provider. You've taken your eyes off the problem and onto that person who will never, ever fail you. I want to ask you to stand. Thank you, Jesus. If you just shut your eyes in the presence of God. Thank you, Lord. And I just want for a moment to pray for you. If you would say, yes, right now, I've been wobbling. I've been wobbling about something that's really important to me. We don't wobble about the things that don't matter to us. We only wobble about the things that really matter. If right now you realize, yes, I've been wobbling. I've been, maybe it's doubt, maybe it's fear. Right now with your eyes shut, I just want you to lift your hands up to the Lord right now. If that's you, you're saying, I've been wobbling. And with your hands raised, I want us to make a declaration together. And we're all going to say this. This is many, many here right now. But I want us all to make this declaration together. And just say, Heavenly Father, I put my trust in you. Thank you, Lord, that my life is in your hands. Thank you, Lord, that you are bigger than the things that are bigger than me. Thank you, Lord, that you've got this and you've got me. I take my eyes off every problem. I take my eyes off the fight and I look to you. I trust you, Lord, with all of my heart, and I will not lean on my own understanding. I give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.